Good morning, pilgrims and travelers on the funny path of life. 11:23. I think I'm getting more efficient, but it's yeah, it's quite amazing. It's still taking me a good chunk of change. Wow. I thought I took some stuff out, but I'm like, why am I not? Anyway, interesting. So I'll start with the good news, something that I meant to talk about before and that I keep forgetting somehow. The bread. I just made a loaf this morning and my hydration was almost 86%. I think I'm really, I mean, I'm at a frontier of unmanageable though period, but I can't believe that even 85%, I'm getting a dough and I can actually get it to fruition. So to kind of give you an idea, I think most doughs typically you're looking at 65 to 75%. And I still, again, that's something that I would love to read about, actually, this idea of hydration, which basically means how much of the total weight of your dry good are you going to match up with your wet? So it could be milk, oil, and pretty much water, basically, mainly water. And so hydration affects things. And I'm actually not even quite sure, but like the dough, I mean, the dough, with my spatula, it was actually sticking to the spatula. That's to give you an idea about how wet that dough is. Normally, I've never have an issue with a spatula. You know, it's it doesn't stick to it. The dough is, you know, it's compact enough. But yeah, it is quite exciting. I think the added moisture, structurally, of course, and texturally, changes the bread. But in terms of what does what to what, I'm actually not quite sure that I could articulate it. But I do like, I think it's more space between the alveoles, you know. I think it might mean that you might get more of kind of a, like a layering instead of like chunks of dough together and then some air pockets. I guess alveole will be like air pockets. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool. I think I may try. You know, it's 600 grams of flour. Well, plus, I guess, 10 grams of salt. I don't count that, actually. I don't know if I should. I think it's just for flour. I don't think salt is, because it dissolves. So I don't know if it matters or not. But anyway, and I just had some turmeric and black pepper, but that's insignificant. But that's it, you know, yeast. Well, I guess technically with the yeast, you know, it's 7 grams. Well, I don't know, it doesn't matter. But I'm going to go to 520 next time. I want to see. I want to get to the place to where it just doesn't come out. I'm curious. And of course, the key to my success here is, you know, I've been steering clear from dusting with flowers because I find it wasteful, you know, and stuff with oil is just amazing and it prevents it from sticking and you really don't need much. So it's on the board, you know, I use it in the bowl for the first proofing and then on the working surface to shape the dough. So I get it down pretty much to a science. And something interesting that I do too. So you just expect that to smear, you know, a glob of oil. So the dough dumps, lands on it, falls on it. And then I don't have it to stick on the wooden because any surface that dough would stick to. And that's a problem because the dough would tear and it would affect your final proofing and then your final dough. I think there's ways around that. Anyway, but regardless, normally traditional ways, you dust your flour and then you keep adding flour. And that's where you see bread with a bunch of extra flour on top of it that's been used to shape it. And I'm so glad I found a way away from that because I just didn't like it. It felt wasteful to me using flour that way. And something interesting that I do with the oil, so I don't use too much, obviously, but there's always a little bit of leftover, so I end up oiling my skin. So I use oil, I just from the bowl and from the work surface, from the spatula, I basically smear it on my heel, on my leg, my calves, and then my forearms. And basically there is nothing left. There's nothing to clean. And I just, for me, I love it. I just, it's kind of self-cleaning in a way. So I'm really, really, yeah, I have the feeling I'm going to miss that. Though in Portugal, like I said, I like a lot of the bread they offer. But it's been very nice to have integrated in that morning practice of mine this bread making. Very, very interesting. Anyway. So that's for that. I was tired again this morning. Again, it's like, dang, this thing is really dragging. But I'm kind of thinking it's more than likely not really physical. I do feel my legs are a little, my legs feel a little tired, I guess, a little bit. You know, I definitely feel a little bit of a tiredness in terms of, the legs, something that I haven't, felt before. So, I guess it could just be a preview of, you know, getting older. And I guess I've put in quite a few miles lately. So possibly, you know, some people are beast, you know, in terms of their physicality, that they can go for a long time, you know. But I think for a lot of people, you know, comes the time when you get a Peter Piper. And it's not like that changes anything. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And then whenever, if and when I get to that place, then I feel quite comfortable that it will naturally transition into something else, you know, because I do, you know, I do highly value moving, you know, to do some form of exercise, but there are many, 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 many forms, you know, that one can take it. You know, I could end up going on a bike or rowing or, you know, things which are easier for your knees, or there are many, many forms. And of course, walking normally remains a pretty good one. So, oh, is she up? Oh, she's not. That's unusual. Yeah, I doubt that the guy doing the walk normally doesn't come. So that could have been. She must be. Maybe she's basking in the sun. Get over here! Get over here! Get over here! Oh! Oh! Que pasa? Que pasa? Que pasa? Yes? Your paw is okay? You look like you were limping for a second now. You look okay. Yes! Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, 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 yeah, there's a little neck rubbing here. Little neck rubbing here. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Yeah, remember it about the treat. That's it. I just love it when you readjust your sitting. No. I know. It's across the fence. No. Yes. Oh, here, I'll give you that. Here, take that. Okay, fit. actually here. Take that little up, up, over there. Here, down, down, down. Now you don't see it. It's barely too speck. It. No. 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 Okay. You did so good. You did so good. It was a long time for you to wait for that treat. I'm so bad. I'm such a sadist. I'm such a sadist. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Anyway, good to see you, girl. I'm going to Mercadona today, so I'm going to head out. Okay? Love you, beauty. See you later. Anyway. Yes. Let's see. We had quite the afternoon yesterday. It turned out to be not so hot. So it just got overcast. And I was on the swing for quite a while. So you knew that the marketplace was not open. So I'll get there tomorrow. But I'm cool. I'm in no rush with anything. So that's good. So I'll get there tomorrow. And so I went to Juan's house to drop that bottle with that coffee that Rosie had left. It's a nice little bottle. And then I ended up, I called him and he was in Torre del Campo. He had an appointment and he was like, hey, if I leave earlier, you know, I'll let you know. You go to the hardware store, you know, you buy that thing. It's not a plunger, whatever the flushing system. And he ended up being done early enough. And so I got it. He met me down there. We drove back up to the house. And after a couple of things, basically got a new system. Only one little glitch. You know, there seems to be always stuff, you know, between the old and the new. And it's not even the issue. It's that the people selling them to you, they are knowledgeable people, and I think the majority, they are not that knowledgeable. So they'll sell you the stuff, but they don't really quite have the understanding. And in this case, the system was quite taller than the other one. So that created a problem. Anyway, and something the guy could not have foreseen. I would have liked the lever that you pulled to change that too, but the hole in the ceramic was too narrow, you know, and I didn't want to take a chance of filing it or maybe breaking it, you know, because ceramic can crack depending. Then I would think even possibly older one. So, but it's fixed. It doesn't leak anymore, so I'm pretty psyched about that. You know, it was quite praiseful, quite grateful for that for him, you know, to help out. And then I was asking him to borrow his weed eater, su desbrozadora, desbrozar. I want to say desbrozar. Desbrozadora or desbrozadora. Dang, I'm not quite sure. But it's pretty much around that ballpark. The word means a weed eater. Because I want to do the, you know, next week. I want to do the place, everywhere nice and clean and tidy before I leave. And so it's like, well, you know, what if we come? Or what if I find somebody I know and then I borrow theirs and we can do it both? And I'm like, dude, I just want to do it in my own terms, in my own way. I don't really have, there's no rush. I have plenty of time. And then it was like, yeah, but what am I going to do? Like somehow I became responsible to entertain him or to give him something to do, which is very cute. It's very kind of like a childlike. A lot of his mannerism and the way that he expresses himself emotionally, it's very interesting, you know. He's 60-something, 65, I think, around there. So it's very interesting. So I was like, you know, if you don't want to, that's fine. But this is what I want to do. It was kind of really hard to have to put the foot down and just But we got to that place, you know, to where he's going to bring it to me, and then I'll be able to do it. You know, here and there, I do some in the evenings, you know. Anyway, so that's kind of something that I want to do, you know. So I still don't quite know exactly when I'll be leaving, you know. And of course, the fact that I'm looking at getting the screen for the tablet fixed. So that's going to take, you know, one extra day, more than likely. So, so we'll see. We'll see. But I definitely do not want to stay. I don't want to stay long. I think I'm starting to kind of see a crack in taking a bus from Sevilla to Lagos somehow. We'll see. Anyway, so now the toilet is done, so I'm pretty happy about that. Then I just bummed out on the swing. It was just so nice, you know, because at first I took a nap and then he called me to let me know it was an earlier, so my nap was kind of interrupted. And yeah, after having an amazing lunch, I took another schnooze in there. Oh, and by the way, the popcorn, you know, I soaked it and let it dry, freeze it, thinking the ice stuff might, if it soaked, it would kind of crack it, but no, that didn't help. And that did not help. So, yeah, this popcorn stuff is quite a bit that just doesn't pop. So I don't know if I would have to add more oil. Anyway, I mean, I miss my air popper. The air popcorn? The hot air, whatever you call it. Amazing little thing that just has a heater and a fan, and it just has enough of a fan not to pop the kernel, but when the corn is popped, then it just comes out of it. And I love it. With a little kind of spout, and you put your bowl, and it just dumps it in there. And pretty much, maybe one or two won't, but basically it's, I guess it's hot enough. I think it has to do with the heat. And when I do the oil, I can't do high heat. You don't want to get to the smoking point. That is not healthy at all. So I would rather do it by dry heat, but I just, that's something that I might actually get, you know, if I was to be sedentary, to get this little machine, because it's quite simple. I don't think it's going to go bad. You know, it's, you know, just a fan and a heater. That's it. I think it's quite simple. But it's, I loved it when I had that in Texas, you know, quite simple. I'm wondering if an air fryer, actually, I bet you can do popcorn in an air fryer. But anyway, because that's something too, in terms of the AG, Advanced Glycation End Product, that the air fryer is quite good, if I remember well on some things, some comparison, that it creates less trouble in terms of free radical or kind of affecting your gene. Anyway, so then went to the library. I finished Killers of the Flower Moon. So my review, it was watchable. I think it's based on a true story. It's kind of weird that the Scorsese at the end came up. I think in some of his movies he comes out. I'm not sure. I don't think he's like Quentin Tarantino that comes out in each of his movies. And actually kind of looks like a douche as an actor, like in Pulp Fiction. Just, I don't know, just a smart ass in there. To me, kind of came out as a douche. But anyway, it was watchable. Some of what I not feared, but I anticipated kind of became fulfilled in terms of the way the Native American are viewed, kind of as a victim. So, you know. There is always this thing with changes, you know. There are some changes that are very violent and some that are less. But they are changes. They are the force, you know, a shift. They force a cultural shift, and in some cases, a fundamental cultural shift. And, you know, of course, the experience is going to be different. You know, I get it. If you're Native American in terms of your culture and the way your that culture is, it's basically more or less has been decimated. You know, you have little apparels. You know, people wearing those things, banging on the drum, but it's it is not really culturally significant really anymore. So I have the feeling that with each passing generation, it's just narrowing, like going down a funnel, you know. And in the end, it will just more than likely drip dry, or there'll be a very niche market, will be a exotic flavor that, you know, some rich bourgeois of some sort or intellectual philanthropist that just for their own pleasure will want to keep, you know. But yeah, it's something that I never heard. So, you know, but I guess, you know, money doesn't matter, you know, who you are, the color of your skin, greed doesn't care, you know, just that if you have the money, you know, you're going to, you're just going to become a magnet. And I guess, I don't know if because more than likely having power and prestige and money, you know, being a person of influence, I think it kind of creates a certain loneliness. I have the feeling, you know, there becomes more fear, there's more holding, grabbing, you know, worrying and mistrust. And I think it makes sense, you know, if you have more so than, you know, a lot of people, then this kind of, it's going to create some kind of imbalance, and it's going to be a natural way in which you will try to remedy that. So you get those weird, you know, opportunistic people that just comes out of the woodwork. You know, it's like, where were you when I was poor? You know, like in my case, it'd be quite funny, you know. I think I would definitely be so cynical. You know, like the book I'm reading, The Guide, I'm getting close to the end. Really, really enjoying him as a writer. Amen. Really, really good. Wow. I mean, really good. And the story that this guy grew up near what became a rail station. He's that a little store, and then he took it over and expanded to tourism. And then he met this woman, and his whole life changed. And this woman wanted to become a dancer, and with her husband, it wasn't going to happen. So something happened, and he ends up with her, and she became this kind of overnight success. I mean, after many, 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 many countless hours of practice, but that's what she wanted to do. And so, you know, they started to make money and all of that. And so, you know, then the whole thing changed. Your social life changes and how people view you, you know. And of course, that has nothing to do with nothing. But then again, how is that different from anything else? You know, because being a man or woman, it doesn't really have anything to do ultimately with who you are. But it is, you know, that kind of a surface level materialization of that identity somehow, of the role, of the part that you play. So it is relatively relevant, but it is not absolutely significant. Because in the end, that doesn't tell you anything really about you. You won't be happy. You could try to be the most beautiful person, the most successful, whatever it is to the ends degree. You know, you could go all you want, and I guarantee you, wherever you would end, it would not be that. It may be temporary, you know, it may be something nice here and there, but I think you would become even more jaded and cynical and melancholic, because you would invest so much, and in the end, thinking that it was about how you would tweak it, you know. It's going to be about how I tweak my body, the kind of car I have, you know, the kind of job I have, the kind of family I have, you know, something outward. And there is, I really believe that I'm arrogantly, could you say that? To be arrogant, arrogantly? It sounds weird. It sounds like it shouldn't be said arrogantly, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to be arrogant here and state that there is no such a thing. that happiness will never be equated with something that's conditional, with something that is not, I guess, eternal. Oh, yeah, that's not unconditional, basically. If it's bound materially, you know, if it is to be expressed or if it's to be connected to and enjoyed through a material form, then it never will. There is no such a thing as happiness. That being said, for some people, they're happy enough, you know, like people who get high or, you know, who to do those stuff because that's good enough. If I do that, I get here and I'm happy enough, you know, getting drunk, whatever the case may be. And we all have those. And I think some of us start to become disillusioned, desilusionados with that thing and realize getting high is not it. You know, there is nothing. So it's really kind of a death to a part of our identity. And for me, it is very interesting because I guess in the last few days, I feel like I'm getting a preview somehow of, are they painting? Painting the fence that's rusted? Oh, yeah, they're painting it blue. So, yeah, it's kind of like, it's not like when I had a COVID, of course, you know, but kind of things being, well, the food is not tasteless. The food is fucking amazing. I mean, the bread, the hummus and all that stuff, I am loving it. But, yeah, and the languages, yeah, it is still something that, you know, enjoy too. But it is, I'm coming to the road here. You know, the realization that, you know, so I have this physical ability that I can move, I can carry a pack, you know, and I've had those experiences, I've had those highs, and, you know, realize that, oh, that's not useful. You know, obviously, that's, we have the Arroz Hermanos Casalla. That anything that I'm going to hold on to that is conditional is problematic. So the idea of not holding on to anything. So on one hand, on one plane, of course, you know, I am right, I'm walking, so it's physical. I have my pack on, you know, I do things and I'm mindful of the physicality of the experience, my ability, you know, mindful of my body. So, and that's going to keep being in a state of flux. But on the other hand, that it is relevant, but it's not what's most important. That through that, I would call it, I guess, karma yoga in that sense, through the practice of acting, of doing something, then you could foster, you know, something intangible on the inside, and then to somehow connect yourself to that part through the doing, and not to get lost in the doing, or how well you're doing it, or what you have to show for at the end. You know, like if you're very successful, I could see how that could be problematic. So anyway, that's kind of a, yeah, kind of where I'm going with that. So anyway, like I said, the book, like I said, I have two more of his books, so he's written quite a few. So I'm gonna have to hunt some more because it's really, really enjoyable to read about. I mean, I realized, my goodness, I'm nowhere. This ability to formulate thoughts that way and that flow, the flow of what the characters are saying and how he's setting it up. And, you know, it's very good too in my book because he's not spending too much time telling you about the shape of the freaking shelf. You know, it's like, I don't really care. You know, it's like, okay, you're in a kitchen. Well, we're more like an idea. If that kitchen culturally is really different, you know, then sure, you know, you can spend a little time, but no more. So, you know, it's really about the way that he's thinking, feeling, and so his thinking process. So it's quite psychological, which I guess would make sense, right? From an Indian perspective, from India, that is, that it would be a frame of reference important. And to me, it is definitely way more interesting than right and wrong, and I don't know, a lot of those things about that you see in the West, you know, like Hollywood and culture, the Victorian era, a lot of those things, kind of what they seem to focus on, what they find so important, you know, as leading to happiness or misery. I don't really share that. It doesn't quite make sense to me. It's not useful. No me sirve para nada. So it was kind of, you know, kind of talking about that. And of course, his circle changed. And he became popular because he had money. But that has nothing to do with who you are. And I guess there's nothing wrong in having money. There's nothing wrong in being a person of influence and having that. But if you lose yourself into that, ooh, mamma mia. I think here we go to Siddhartha, yeah, Hermann Hesse, where Siddhartha goes out of the wood as an ascetic. And then he becomes this writer. He works for this rich businessman and eventually starts to accumulate wealth. And he kind of gets lost into it. To a, at the end, he almost is basically suicidal. And, but also out of that, okay, the irony here, on one hand, you could say, you could easily go down the slope and saying, well, that would be wrong to do that. But out of that, too, you learn something. So you learn out of everything. And I guess there is this idea that there may be a path that is very sticky. I find it to be a very sticky subject. The idea of there are better paths to take. And so you have the choice, you know, to do things that are better. And that's so, you know, that, and that's really individual. On this one, I definitely do not believe on a systematic understanding. There could be like general guidelines, you know, to tell you, well, if that's producing that kind of fruit, you more than likely are not doing it well. So I'm okay with that. It's kind of objective baseline of saying good and bad. But in terms of the recipe and how you go about to do it, that's to each his own, yeah? Cada uno con lo suyo. Yeah, and I find it to be tricky, but then, because then comes this kind of biohacking, you know, life hacking way of looking at things, of cutting more corners. And I think there is a place for that, but I think it can just become this slippery slope, you know, and I think for me, for sure. Because I am. I mean, I have greed in me, you know. I have greed for life. I have greed to try to, you know, to suck that marrow, you know. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I think it's easy to be misled, misguided, you know, to lose track. And I think it's kind of one of those things, you know, it's kind of like skiing on maybe a green, you know, bunny slope or green-blue slope, and then going to a black one. So, you know, if you fall on a green or blue slope, you know, you could get hurt, but less problematic than if you go to a black or double black, you know, if you go into trees. They are the mistakes, you know, carry greater consequences. And so the idea that to maybe match the skills with the risk taking, and that maybe, oh wow, kind of weird analogy I'm about to make again with skiing. So, you know, the ski that they make now, they call parabolic. So they are shorter and they are kind of like, they are fat on the front, not quite as fat on the back, but a little more fat and more narrow where you clip into. So they call parabolic, and that makes you turn easier. It's one of the things that it does. Anyway, also the fatter one keeps you afloat, so you don't have to work harder to stay on top of the snow, you know, if you have powder. Anyway, and then you have different one, of course, you know, you have the speed, and then you have the turning. So kind of like anything, like kayak, you know, you have those long kayak, they are more stable, but they don't turn as much. And if you're going to do a kayak like in a rafting kind of river, then you're going to want the one that's really, you can maneuver, so they're not as stable, but they can turn, you know, they are way more adaptable. And so that basically, you know, we have so much that is put together in this world where we are, that it is so easy to have a false sense of wisdom. And I'm learning that, the idea of like, I know. And then you find yourself on your ass. And I'm like, I don't get it. I thought I knew. And then you do something else and it's like, oh, now I know. and then you fall on your ass again. It's like, how many times will I fall on my ass before I get to the place? I don't know. And realizing that that knowledge, that wisdom does not come from that place of understanding, but it comes from life feedback. You know, like for me, a very clear-cut example in 2019 when I came over and when I started to walk on the Camino with Matthew after 2-3 days, I was like, that is weird. It's like, I can't think about the future. I'm like, it's like, don't worry. Let it go. Just worry about where you are now. And, you know, I thought it was high, maybe Camino high. Sometimes you hear about that. And, of course, my life being a little different since I didn't really have anything to go back to, at least for the time being, back in the U.S. But it kept going day after day after day. And it was like, that is weird, you know. It's like, why am I still high, you know? And then I realized, oh, my goodness, this is not high. This is my state. This is where I am right now. I am kind of in a place to where the future has become less relevant. And it's not a choice that I made. It just became a reality. And I would call that wisdom. So it's wisdom. I don't think wisdom is a choice. I think wisdom is a consequence. And I guess to each his own in terms of what you would consider wisdom, you know, something that's really of high value for you as a human being, you know, as a sense of fulfilling oneself, you know, realizing oneself, awakening, whatever you want to call it. But definitely to me, that was definitely a significant step. And I guess my point, you know, is that anything that I think, I realize this is full of shit. It doesn't mean anything. What I'm thinking doesn't mean anything because it comes from a different place. It is mostly reactionary. You know, it is conditional. You know, I don't say the same thing to, oh, am I seeing olives? Yeah, I think I'm seeing the little buds here. Oh, yeah, there are the flowers. Yeah, I'm seeing very few, but they're coming out on the olive trees. So that it doesn't come from a safe place, same place. It's not like driving a car. You know, I know how to drive a car. Oh, there's a ladybug. Hello, hello. It's going to be pretty warm today. Yeah, I can feel it. I'm going to break a good sweat today again. So wisdom and knowledge, they have nothing to do with each other. I think wisdom is this inevitable realization about some kind of advance being made. It's kind of like getting a report card. And somehow, on that one test, you just aced it. And it's not like you just get, you know, like you get like a first place on the race and you get that trophy and then you go back to work. No, that your life has changed then. And of course, your life changes, you know, if you won first place in a race in terms of your state of mind. But I don't view that at all like the same thing. Like in life, when there is a major shift in your awareness, in how you approach things, in what you value, you know. So I call that wisdom. Not that it'll never change, of course. And I think it can keep being updated. Or it can keep updating itself, whatever works here. So that's not what I'm saying. But there is such a different quality between those two experiences, between those two awarenesses. You know, like, I know how to make bread, but that doesn't have anything to do with this sense of like, this is now becoming a reality, you know. And one is about, maybe the difference is one is about being and the other is about doing. And the difference is possibly that the change in the being affects your doing way more than the other way around. And I don't know. And it doesn't matter anyway. I don't need to know. But that's a sense that I get. Like, you know, like when I start to really being bothered by some words and realize I don't want to use those words anymore. You know, it was not really a choice. I don't know what led to that, you know. Kind of the chicken and the egg, the existential chicken or the egg in that ideology. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because I really don't think it does. The idea of trying to make sense of that, first, I don't think it's possible. I don't think you can grasp at wisdom. You know, I think a lot of the spiritual people, the Oh my goodness, what you call the people in the ecstatic, the mystic, in we talk about this is not here. It doesn't belong in your head, in your brain. You know, it's a quality of an experience. It's a state of mind, but it's not your head like your normal one. It's more view of the spiritual entity instead of the psycho spiritual entity, which is different. They have different function. And yeah, it is. I think the whole point, it would be kind of like trying to have your hand oiled up like crazy and trying to grab an egg, you know, a hard boiled egg or quailed egg, you know. It would just be slipping. You'd be getting so frustrated and you'd feel so stupid. Just the point, it's, you know, it's kind of like Wizard of Oz. Don't worry about the man behind the curtain. Don't worry about him. Just do your thing. You know, I do believe there is a reason why some things are we are privy to and some we are not. And I choose to believe that there is wisdom behind that, that is beyond my understanding. And the fact that as of late, you know, I am not that interested really in being in control. I mean, there are things, you know, that promote my comfort. There are things that I don't like, you know, that kind of challenge that. Or, you know, there are things that I'm used to. And, sometimes I don't like to be pulled out of that environment. And unless, I guess, the people or the situation warrants it or is of high value enough to justify it, I have a tendency to being like, no, you know, that's basically, no, you are not as interesting or as important as this other thing that is part of my life. For me, an encounter is not automatically better than, let's say, going to take a walk or practicing language or watching something or listening to something, whatever activity I may be involved into. Yeah, this is definitely, it's not a trump card. It's not a joker. It's not an ace. It is just a card, you know. If anything, like my morning routine would be closer to an ace. You know, that's a very powerful card in my life. And it's getting even harder to separate me from that, actually, because it's really a well ingrained routine by now. And I feel like it's definitely, you know, outside of me always throwing the why out there, you know, but in terms of always me looking at a discipline and a routine. And this one is, quite good. I don't remember how many times in the last, I don't know how long, I have not been able to comply with it, you know, to do it. And even like, you know, like today or even the last few days, I'm not fresh. I mean, even my first few yoga session, my cycles of yoga, they were just like, oof, my goodness, just felt lazy, felt heavy. But it's like, but they got done, you know, they got done. Maybe not the same, no, not maybe, not the same enthusiasm, but they got done. So, anyway, interesting. So, did I say enough on the killers of the flower moon? Well, in terms of the filming, I mean, that's one thing definitely that Martin Scorsese does well. It's definitely, it's got a good eye. So this is well done. Well done. The camera work, I think, quite well done. So you really feel dipped into that earlier 20th century, you know, right after the, I guess, a couple of decades after the First World War, which is, I think it was like that, yeah, from 1918 to the 30s. And I thought it was well done. And the characters, you know, finding those guys that kind of look older. I did find, I don't know, Robert De Niro. I don't know. I mean, obviously, Martin Scorsese. I don't know how many movies they've done together, but, you know, they are a very good pal. But not that impressed, I have to say, with his performance. As a, you know, there are some interesting characters, you know. But again, American movies do not they don't go too far into the psychology. It's really more about the action. It's a action-based morality, you know, more than a state of being. So if I was to compare like the book I'm reading to those kind of movies, you know. Anyway. But it was watchable. I mean, it's a long piece. Eh? It's over 3 hours. So it's, I guess that's what Martin Scorsese does, right? I think, didn't the one with, oh my goodness, Leonardo DiCaprio and Daniel Day-Lewis in New York, Gangs of New York, wasn't that Scorsese too? So I guess Scorsese also, I think, has a thing for Leonardo DiCaprio because it was in The Departed, and actually it was pretty good. Leonardo DiCaprio in Gangs of New York. I think it's a Scorsese movie. It looks about right. The kind of stuff he will be into anyway. And I found her quite pretty. The actress, you know, she's kind of a chunky monkey. Molly Bloom in the movie. I guess it was a thing about the Oscars, about her not winning it. I'm sure it would have definitely... you could have seen kind of a... Well, they could have sold it, like politically correct, you know, kind of a Native American, I'm assuming she is, you know, to win the Oscar, kind of justice, through the Oscars. who views the Oscars as a moral platform, as a moral opportunity? My goodness, we are very funny. But yes, she was pretty good, and there was something about her, I don't know. It was kind of endearing, a little bit, that I found endearing. And then some other guys, some supporting actors that I enjoyed. I guess you could say Leonardo DiCaprio was a protagonist, and then you have De Niro kind of right behind. And anyway, but yeah, watchable. Yeah, I think it is. And I think you can learn a little bit, so it could be interesting. It could be interesting, you know. So it was watchable, kind of like I don't know, Barbie. I don't quite see how Barbie was could have been a serious contender in the Oscar. I don't know if it won anything, but anyway. So I'm kind of watching now, you know, some of the movies, like there's Anatomy of a Fall that I'm going to watch soon. I forgot what else. Oppenheimer, I was talking to Eduardo, I guess I should call him Alberto, which is his real name. I've been calling him the wrong name. We're talking, and he was like, he didn't get into it either. So, you know, he won like 7 Oscars, you know, Oppenheimer. So, I may try it again. But I don't know, it was just kind of like, it wasn't that interesting, the plot, to me. No, I don't know much about Oppenheimer life, I just knew it was one of the director, one of the main guy behind making it a reality, you know, Project Oppenheimer, I guess. Is that what it was called? Project Oppenheimer? I guess that would make sense, right? Anyway, and then the whole thing about communism in the 40s, 50s in the US after the Second World War. I don't know. But I might have to give that another shot because it looks like he killed it. So we'll see. And then be a couple more after that. But I'll be more than likely about it, I think. You have to be careful with the Oscars, you know. From time to time, you'll find a gem. I'll find a gem in there, but a lot of it is just like that. And I don't even know exactly how the voting happens. I think it's the viewers, right, that end up voting? I forgot exactly. So, you know, that tells you a lot right there. I don't have a lot of faith in that. Well, it doesn't matter in any way. It's not like the Caesar, I guess, in France, where you have actually actor, director, you know, people from the field who do vote on that. Different kind of biases, of course, you know. Anyway, but we'll see. So, I think that's good enough. Let me see here where I am in, oh my goodness, I have about 10 minutes before maxing at my 1 hour, which is a great deadline. Anyway. Get there. So today going to get quite a few things from, did I not bring the freaking list? I may not have. Dang it, I had this nice list that I made. I forgot to fold the paper. Anyway, we'll see. So I have, let's see if I remember. Vitamins, I'm going to try to see. I want to get a loofah, a little scrubby, you know, for me, that I can hang on my backpack. Milk, whole wheat flour, oat flakes. and then walnut and peanuts. That's it. That's actually what I'm looking at getting, so I remember. That's nice. I'm enjoying writing that again. Anyway. And no, I have not gotten the itch yet to get the journal, notebook, to do some writing. But yeah, it's still in my mind. It's still in the back burner to get that when I start. So we'll see. That could be something for the afternoon. I don't know if I would do it in the morning, actually. I think it would. I don't know. No, I don't know. Because there is an idea about doing it very early. But I don't know if I see the point, me personally, to engage my mind that early in the morning that way, you know, even before I do languages. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if it holds up in court. Anyway. So, I will have to see what I'm going to watch tonight. If the library is open. Oh, and I'm planning. I guess I'll have to get a hold of Juan today. Make sure he's conveyed the stuff to Rosie about what I need for the rice pudding. And I'm thinking of going tomorrow to do that if it works out for her. So, and I will have to go to get the produce, so that would actually work out well for me to do my backpack stuff, go get the produce, and then go by and see her and go back up to the place, making it convenient. Eh? Multi appointment. Anyway, it's nice. There's a bridge. Yeah, we are. Even though we have more than likely a cold front coming in. Hold on, get a car here. So, just got through the under the highway. And now I'm in definitely Torre Don Jimeno, Jimeno J. La J y la G. G and J. Actually, J and G, because J is J, and the G is G, which can be G or G, 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 or Ga. Ga, Go, Ga, Go, Gu, Ga, Go, Gu. I'm not sure there's much new words with Gu, but Ga, Go, yes. So it's Ga, G, G, Go. Well, then you have to have the weird letter U with the two dots on top. And it makes a huge change in how you say the word. No, I'm not turning here. Taking the next one. So, anything else? Well, I think that's plenty. My goodness, that's over 50 minutes. So I think I'll leave it at that. And it looks to be like a nice toasty day. I even debated yesterday, actually. I'll finish on that one. I was thinking, man, I could sleep outside. She has pallets and mattresses, kiddo. I could actually go sleep outside. It's nice enough right now to do that. And of course, the property, but I'm like, no, I'm good in a bed. But last night, when I came back from the library after doing my cleaning duties, and I ended up going back outside to do my kanji and reading. You know? And we have lights outside, you know, farola, light post on the property, so that I may actually turn those on, so it's not so dark. But it was wonderful, you know, to kind of allow the swinging motion of a swing set, you know. So, and then to be outside, and yeah, you have the dog barking, some music playing, you know. That's a life, but it's quite mild, you know, and it was wonderful, wonderful. But no, I don't think I'll be. I think I'm really fine with. Hold on a second. What does it tell me in terms of distance? Camino de Jamilena, Torre Don Jimeno. I don't know. It tells me I have 1.35 to Torre Don Jimeno and Camino de Jamilena. Okay, I don't know. Anyway, doesn't matter. So. Here we go, all the olive branches are burned. I think we're finally coming to the end of that, you know. And let's see here if they have buds. Yes, there's life. There's the budding, los brotes, the buds. Okay, I guess you would say brotar, I think, for something to bud. I think the brote y brotar. Anyway, on that note, my friend, wish you a beautiful day wherever you are, from southern Andalusia. Peace and love.